Y'all do pretty good to be from Blanco County. Thank y'all so much. Very good music. Very good. All right. This morning, you need to either have your Bible or get the one out of the pew and put on your racing shoes, because we're going to look at different scriptures today. Megan said she hadn't had a Bible drill in a while, so we'll see how fast she can do it and make sure she doesn't kick any of them over. I got to brag on her. There for a while I called her Miss Kick-a-Barrel. Mater told me I was harassing her quite a bit, and I said, well, there's one way for me to quit that. She quit kicking a barrel. So I renamed her to Winnebuck, because she quit kicking a barrel. And we're glad you quit kicking a barrel. All right. She's doing really good. And, the thing I like most, and some of you have had the opportunity to see her ride, she always gives God the praise for it. And that is who we get it from all things from, is from Him and His power. The title of the message is Our Freedom Inheritance. We just celebrated the 4th of July. And a lot of our nation today wants to rewrite history. But folks, history teaches us, number one, where mistakes were, so that hopefully we don't make the same ones again. Without history, we would have no knowledge. We'll play the insanity game. We'll keep doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different outcome. The other part that it is, and more importantly, history teaches us to be thankful. You think about what we enjoy today, and you look back 248 years, there were men and women who had a dream of being able to worship as they wanted, where they wanted, when they wanted. They wanted to have the freedom to make their own lives and to do what they felt they were called to do. And if you read in the annals of history, you will find that our forefathers spent, before they ever started writing or began conversing with each other and the thoughts and the ideas, the true history annals say that they spent time on bended knees, sometimes over 2 hours. We get upset if a prayer goes about 3 minutes. We get more upset if the preacher goes past the Cowboys starting. But these men knelt down and prayed for over 2 hours. It's important for you and I to understand our inheritance. Through the years, we have seen this nation go through 2 world wars, as well as many other conflicts. We've had men and women who have served graciously and laid down their lives that you and I might enjoy our freedom today. We have a wealth of inheritance. As Texans, we also understand we have a wealth of inheritance of men who laid down their lives that we might be the great state of Texas. But more important is the inheritance we have from our Heavenly Father. I'm not going to have you stand to read verses today simply because we're going to look at so many. So if you have a notepad, I encourage you to write them down, be able to go back and look at it. It's not because I say it, it's because God says it. But it is, I think, an encouragement to you and I. I started this out today in our prayer about our Declaration of Independence, what we celebrate 248 years ago. And they wrote exactly what Thomas Jefferson wrote, is we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So when we talk about that, the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that they are given unto us as inalienable rights from our Creator, where did those men find it? That it came from our Creator. So this morning, that's what we're going to look at, is our inheritance. And I'll name a few of the freedoms which we have been given. First, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading while you're still turning. Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be all glory forever and ever. Amen." He puts that amen as a punctuation part, meaning may it ever, forever be true that that is exactly what He gave us. And so He sent His Son that you and I really would have the freedoms from sin. For you see, that life, liberty, and happiness, the pursuit of happiness, falls from you and I because of sin. And then in John chapter 15 and 19, our Lord is speaking here, and He puts forth the following, 15 and 13, my mistake. He says, The greater love has no one than this, that he lay down one's life for his friends. We hear that oftentimes at funerals, and especially of those who are in military or public service. But the greatest one of all that laid down his life for his friends was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you listen to the song that they sang a while ago, "Mercy Walked In," you listen to the words of that, it's as though it is a court, and our punishment is going to be death for our crime of sin in our lives. But Jesus walks in and says, "No, they are one of mine. My mercy, my grace that the Father gave to me, I bestowed upon all of them." The next is the freedom that He gives us, not only to have that mercy and grace, and out of that mercy and grace and Him laying His life for us, are the following. Freedom from fear, worry, and anxiety. Let's try that right and see if I can get it. Also, while we're there in John 14:27. John 14:27 says the following. "Peace I leave with you," it is our Lord speaking, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, in our nation today, fear is a paralyzer. People are afraid to get outside of their homes. You listen to any part of the news. You listen to any commercial. What they're telling you is you're fearful of storms and your light's going out, buy a generator, buy this, buy that. It's all based on fear. Politicians, democracy will be annihilated. One thing or another, it's all fear-based. You see, you and I can recognize when the devil's at hand because it has fear. If he can paralyze you and I in fear, he's defeated what Christ gave us, and that is not a spirit of fear. Matthew chapter 5, well known, verses 25 through 24, is all about do not worry. He tells us that over and over again, that the lilies don't worry about what they wear or anything made mention today. You know, the grass is beginning to turn brown, looks like it's dying away. And guess what? Lord douses it with a little rain. Look how green it becomes. Donnie, as you said, seems like overnight. But not only in Matthew 5, but also in Matthew 10, verse 31. Matthew 10 and verse 31, again, our Lord is speaking. He says, "Do not fear, therefore. You are far more of value than many sparrows." The preceding verses talk about not even one sparrow falls that God is not aware of it. Just as their last song, how much your song's tied in with that today. Last song, when you think nobody else is listening, He is, because He cares. He is concerned about anything and everything that you and I are concerned with. 2 Timothy 1:7. See, I told y'all I was going to travel today, but I had on good running shoes. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God, especially there, you ought to have this one highlighted. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now I want you to take note of that last one, of a sound mind. You know, when you really get stressed and just seems like, you're trying to drink from a fire hose. Any of y'all ever tried that before? You know, we all got that water hose out there we get a drink. Try drinking from a fire hose sometime. See how well that works. Okay? You're just overwhelmed. And because you're overwhelmed, your brain doesn't engage. You don't have a sound mind. You're running scared. In law enforcement, they taught us, they did different colors about your mind. Green was when everything's running great. Yellow simply meant that there's something that just isn't quite right. Red, you realize there is a danger. And then black. Black is when you go from green, you didn't realize there was something amiss, you didn't see no danger, but the danger now is right directly in front of you. And black equals paralyzation. And folks, I'm here to tell you there's so many people living in our world today in the color black because they're paralyzed by what's taking place. They have no hope. They can see no light at the end of the tunnel or any other euphemism you want to put in there. What takes place is the fact they don't have Jesus Christ in their life because the devil is running amok. He is in the death throes right now because he realizes he knows Scripture just as well as you or I knows it. He knows he's already been defeated. The next is the freedom of no condemnation. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. You see, without Jesus, we would be condemned by the law of the Old Testament. Romans again. Romans 3:23 through 24. Romans tells us here, as Paul writes the letter to Rome, he says, "For all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Which leads us directly back to John 3:16, that He gave His only Son that you and I might have life forever. Forever and forever. He tells us that over and over again. We also have the freedom to come before Him. In the Old Testament, only the priest could come once a year, and you brought all of those things before Him. Billy read from Hebrews this morning about our high priest and that we're considered priests for the Lord. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus." You know, we get to have the privilege today that those of prior to Christ did not have. We get to come not only before God, but we get to come with boldness. Now, that's not being prideful. That is because when we come with boldness before the Father, it is because we're actually proclaiming and honoring what Christ did for you and I. We can come in His boldness before our Father. We can come directly to the daddy. No one should be afraid to go to their daddy. I realize Junior is a man back there. But when Junior's got a problem he hadn't seen before, he goes, "Dad, I need to talk to you." Uh-oh. And we find out whatever the problem is. And we work through that. You see, if I know how to do that as a human, how much more our Heavenly Father knows how to do it for us, His children. We can come to Him with anything. Not be afraid to speak to Him about it, no matter how big, how little. And He's going to help us work through it, going to show us the right way in what we should do. Coming before Him. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 continues on with that freedom to come before our Heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 11 in verse 28 says the following, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body." We have no fear of Satan himself because of Jesus Christ, because He's already overcome him. Also in John chapter 6, John chapter 6, John 6 and verse 37, Jesus is speaking. He says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast him out." Folks, that's a promise. The devil's going to say, "Oh, look at all the things you've done in your life. Look at your age. Look at..." He'll come up with all sorts of excuses of why you can't come before Jesus Christ, why you can't pray to the Father. And Jesus says, "My Father's given me everything. I have it all, and if you come to me, I will not cast you out." You know, we all played games when we were younger, and you played war ball or basketball or football, whatever it was, and you picked who you wanted on your team. I don't want to see no hands. Any of you was ever that guy or that gal that was the last one picked? Yeah, we didn't want you because you weren't no good, right? I got news for you. You're the first one Jesus Christ wants to pick. You say, "What?" Because you see, Paul also recites to us that it is in my weakness that His power is most shown. He desires you to be humble. He desires for you to have a weakness that you need to overcome, because He'll show you His glory and His power. And you and I are blessed immensely. And the greatest thing I've ever seen is that not only does He do that for us individually, but He'll use it to be able to show others. And you and I end up looking like a hero when it wasn't us. It was all about Jesus Christ. Next, we have the freedom of prayer. What a powerful tool that is. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The freedom of prayer. We have to see... Royce and I were watching a little bit of TV there the other night, something we don't get to do a whole lot of, but the movie that they had made called War Room was back on. What a powerful message. How timely for our country today, for each one of us as Christians, to make sure we spend that time in prayer every day. Philippians chapter 4. To the redeemed, that's you and I if you know Jesus Christ, to the redeemed, those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Jesus Christ adopted you and I. Every single one of us when we call upon His name and ask His Son to come in our heart. Verse 6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There's not a single slave that ever found it to be happy to be a slave. I can say that as well. Before I knew Christ, I was not happy. I didn't have a happy life. Things would go wrong. Oh, occasionally something would go right. But for the majority, not like it is when I know Jesus Christ. Because no matter what the issue is, I can go to Him. I can not only go to Him when there's trouble, but I can go to Him with praise and praise His name for what He's done. You know, sometimes unexpected things happen that you and I totally don't see coming. Now, I'm not going to tell you I'm a great driver. I'm going to tell you I try to be a cautious driver and watch out. But you can't remedy all the idiots that are out there, right? You say, a day I was going down 1431. There's a red light there. I got it green. I see it's green. I'm going to go down and get a little fuel for the truck. And when I got right to the middle of that intersection, the guy who was going to turn right decided just to go ahead and pull out. And folks, I'm here to tell you, it would have centered my four-door cab. And I here today to claim to you, God gave that boy the grace to be quick on that brake and slam it. I can't tell you how close it was, but I can tell you, I could see his eyeballs without any trouble. I'll also tell you, he sat there for a while. I know he had to get part of that foam rubber out of certain places of his body. All I could do was say, thank you, Jesus. Because you see, he cares for us even when we don't realize it. Even it's things we can't avoid because of the action of others, God intercedes. Now, that may seem small to some. Say, boy, you is lucky. No, I have a Savior. I'm not lucky. I've just been redeemed and forgiven. And my God takes care of it. Had He hit me, God would take care of that too. But that is the power He gives you and I, and the freedom to know as we live our lives, no matter what takes place, He is in control. That power of prayer, of what we can do when we come before Him with that. Also, He gives you and I. You're in Galatians. Sorry, I lost my place. I got to think about that again. Here we go. Trying to get there. Okay. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5 about prayer. And the reason I read that in Galatians about prayer is there wasn't no time to pray. It just happens right then. But when we do have that opportunity to pray, we have, you know, and that's where it's constant about Paul saying we should be in constant prayer. When we're in His presence, His hand is upon us all the time. And that's just common communication. It's not walking around with your head bowed and running into things. Most of the time when you do that, you're probably looking at your phone, acting stupid instead of staying where you're going. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, about prayer, our freedom, he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. My whole point was I was being very thankful. One, that guy didn't crash his truck. Two, he didn't crash my truck. And three, neither one of us got hurt. And life went on. Be thankful. It is always important about that thanksgiving. But now, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Notice verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Folks, that's a powerful verse for today. If you listen to all the garbage going on in the news, you just go down to your basement and hunker down. You'd be afraid to do anything. But thank goodness you and I have a spirit not of fear but of victory, because my God has overcome everything. Prayer also, Mark chapter 11, we're almost done. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, and verse 24. He says, therefore, Jesus is speaking, he says, therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe and you receive them, and you will have them. Folks, that tells me also we should not have a spirit of doubt when we take it before the Lord. That doesn't mean He's always going to answer that prayer exactly like we want. But you see, if you and I are in tune to Him, we don't want what we want. We want what He wants, because He knows what's better. He can see far down that road. You and I are real lucky to see the present. You know, as I go back to that example, I was headed home, going to stop, get gas, going back to the house. Had a call coming up I was going to have to be on. It was not my plan to get T-boned in the door. But God knew where we were at. And see, no matter what you and I do, we never escape Him. He's there every minute of every day. He's always being our guardian. And says what we pray for when we pray. We had prayer and praise a while ago. We heard people pray about traveling mercies. God hears that prayer. About healing, about anything, God is interested, and He answers those prayers. Romans 8:26, last one here on prayer. In Romans 8:26, he says the following, as Paul writes, led by the Spirit. Paul says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What a praise that is. There's times where we just don't have the words to even express what's going on. I've been there. I know many of you have, where you kneel before the Lord and you say, Lord, you know what's going on. I can't make sense of it. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fight it. I don't even know how to pray to you about it. That verse right there is that moment. Because the Holy Spirit knows mine and your heart. And He makes those intercessions for you and I. What a powerful tool, but also a freedom you and I have to go before our Heavenly Father. Finally, look at Isaiah. Don't want to leave the Old Testament out. Isaiah chapter 1. Mike, that's in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Isaiah is the prophet talking to the Jewish people, but you understand, because of Jesus Christ, there is not that separation now in God's children. Whether we're Gentile or Jew, we belong to God. Isaiah writes, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing, Operative word. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Man, I like the way Old Testament put it in there. So what freedom is that? The freedom of mind and your guilt and shame. He frees us. See, that's one of the greatest tools the devil always tries to use. Even on those of us who are Christian, he tries to use that. Well, you can't go do that. Well, you, oh, you remember back when whatever? No. The blood of Jesus wiped all of that and made it white as snow. The only reason I remember it is to make sure I don't do it again and to be able to honor my God for the blessing He's bestowed. The freedom of guilt and of shame. Lastly, 1 John, all the way back over to the New Testament, almost to the end of it. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's His promise. All that guilt, all that shame, gone. Scripture will also tell us that when we ask for that forgiveness, it is buried and it is far as the east is from the west in the depths of the sea. It's gone. When you and I keep going back asking for forgiveness for the same thing, Lord says, if we really meant it and we repented, He's looking at us like, what are you talking about? Don't fall victim of that enslavement of the devil. Our freedoms of inheritance, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. See, when you look at Scripture, you know exactly where Thomas Jefferson was coming. Because he says it did not come from man, it did not come from government, but he says endowed by our Creator. It was endowed on that cross. And more importantly, it was endowed 3 days later when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. An endowment means that it is forever. It cannot be taken away. It's like you being part of some membership. And you can pay annual dues or you can have an endowment. It means you paid once, it's done forever. Jesus paid it once and it was forever done. Amen. When you and I ask Jesus Christ into our life, you cannot lose your salvation. If you meant with all of your heart, you gave Him your life and you surrendered to Christ, it is an endowment. You have been adopted into the family of God forever. Jesus Himself said, what God the Father has given me, no man can pluck it out. No man can take it away. As I read these Scriptures, the freedom to not have fear, the freedom not to worry, the freedom not to have anxiety, the freedom of no condemnation, the freedom to be unenslaved by sin, the freedom to come before my Creator, my Heavenly Father, my Abba. The freedom to pray to Him anytime, any place, anywhere. Not only just to come before Him with prayer, but with boldness. I have to have no one intercede for me. The only one who intercedes is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The freedom from all past sin, shame, and guilt. That means I have the freedom for life, abundant life, the freedom of not only life, but of liberty. Liberty means you and I have the freedom to choose. God gave that. We choose to follow Him or we choose not to. That's liberty, not enslavement. We've been bought with a price, and we choose. And finally, the freedom of that life and that liberty in a pursuit of happiness. You want your life to be blessed? Let Jesus Christ drive it. You want the bad things to go away? He's not going to take them all away, but I'll tell you this. He'll guide you through them and lift you over those valleys greater than anything you can ever imagine. Because you see, as Jesus tells us in John, He says, my intent, and I'm going to paraphrase it, my intent is not only for you to have life, not only for you to have liberty, not only for you to have a pursuit of happiness, He says, but my intent is for you to have life abundantly. There's not a single one of us want to have a life of drudgery. We look for the abundance of blessings. Folks, that can only come through Jesus Christ. Does that help you better understand why our forefathers spent so much time on their knees to write that declaration? And from whence they brought those ideas of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? And why He said it is endowed for you and I by our Creator. Without our Creator providing His Son, Jesus Christ, none of that, that life, that liberty, that pursuit of happiness would not exist. Because life here, we were born, we didn't give that life, nor are we the ones that are authorized to take it away, but He is. But I'm especially interested in that immortal life that only Jesus Christ can give. That's our heritage of freedom, a God-given freedom. But it came at a cost. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, laid down His life for you and I. I invite you to bow your head, close your eyes.